A Panthers pre-game podcast on Panthers Radio in association with Zynomics. I'm joined, as ever, by Jono Burrard and former Panther netminder Dan Green. Good evening, gents.
Evening, everyone.
Evening, Chris. Evening, right, everyone.
Good evening, everyone. Yeah, we've got a lot to get through. Let's start by looking ahead. Teddy Bear toss on Friday, and we'll touch on that very soon. But Corey Nielsen's first full week of training, although they'll only have three sessions with it being a Friday game. Greener, first of all, how important is it for Corey to get that week now? That you know, last week was just one day. How important is it, do you think, for Corey to get his teeth into action this week to implement what he wants his players to do?
Yeah, I think it's huge. You know, like you said, he only had one day, really wasn't long to get his message across. And, you know, he'll want to mold that team, the systems, the lines, the special teams, everything really. And, you know, like, you know, he probably wants to get the guys a little bit fitter. He was saying in one of his post-game interviews, and it's going to take time. It's going to take a couple of weeks before everybody's on the same page. Everybody's, you know, singing from the same hymn sheet, as they say. And yeah, I think this week he can really knuckle down, you know, get everything in place. And then, you know, I think this weekend we'll see sort of a true reflection on kind of what he's going to bring more long-term.
John, he gave a great interview to you and to Chris Gadsby of the BBC, very thoughtful in his answers. And what I found very interesting was he discussed what they'd managed to do in training in that short space of time and said that they did most of those areas well. But he also identified where they hadn't managed to do things. And he was very honest about where he thinks this side needs to improve.
Oh, yeah. And he said there's a huge amount to do. And he's going to have a lot of work on in the next few weeks to get this team to where he wants it to be. He says he wants his teams to be faster. He wants to get them up to speed. He wasn't happy with the conditioning. So it's going to take a few weeks to get to that point. But it's amazing that he's had just that one session and a couple of games. He's already identified what he needs to do, what he needs to work on. And it's clear that he's got a plan for the future, and that can only be a positive.
Yeah, it's interesting you say about being fitter. I spoke with Matthew Myers today talking about his testimonial, which we'll touch on again very shortly because that is so close now. But he talked about Corey's systems and how, as a player, you have to skate that extra. In a Corey Nielsen system, you will end up skating more in a game than perhaps they have done under Gary Graham. Look, you're the expert in here, Greeno. You know, what sort of things did you think, you know, I won't get you to go into the breakdown of the specifics because we might be here all night, but I guess in simple terms, Corey needs his players to be fit, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think he has those systems. Obviously, having played in Europe as well, coached in Europe the last few years, I'm sure he's picked up a lot of things from there. But yeah, he likes his defensemen to be very active. So they're going to be like joining in the rush, and especially in the offensive zone, he almost doesn't really have positions in the offensive zone. It's like, you know, if you're a defenseman, you get the puck, you can go down the wall behind the net. Everybody's kind of moving all over all the time. And yeah, I think he just plays that. He wants to play very fast, aggressive, and it does take more out of you. You know, you can kind of liken it to football where, you know, when you hear a new manager comes in and you see like the players' running stats, you know, and they suddenly go up 3 kilometers a game or something. And it's just the style he likes. He wants the guys to create, you know, two-on-ones and to move a lot. And yeah, I think he wants them to be fitter and stronger and faster. And that will, you know, evidently help his systems.
Jono, this week the club announced that Rick Strachan will be joining him as his assistant. I wonder how crucial that is, because we looked at the Gary Graham situation and obviously he was there on his own and didn't have an assistant. And I know lots of people talked about, you know, whether that was a wise thing and how that worked. And obviously, as we know by now, obviously it didn't work out for Gary Graham in Nottingham. But with Rick coming back, first of all, I guess what I think is obviously it's someone for Corey to bounce off, which is very important, but also someone familiar to the club and to Corey, who, just like Corey, was there at the heart of the team's success.
Yeah, absolutely. It's someone who Corey knows, he's someone who Corey trusts. And I think, as you say, it's someone for Corey to bounce ideas off. It's someone else who the players can probably confide in if they need to. I think it's massively important. I don't think it matters who it is. I think it was massively important that Corey got someone else in, one, who we can trust, and two, who the players can trust as well. Rick Strachan knows this club inside out just as Corey does. So I think it's a very astute appointment.
Yeah, and Dan, Rick knows this club, as Jono says, but he knows the game. He's been around the UK game for probably, 30-plus years now as player and coach and pundit for a bit. He knows the game in the UK, and he's seen it through the levels, you know, the British Premier League days, the Super League days, onto the Elite League.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, he's kind of, you know, been a head coach, been an assistant, worked with GB. He's done it all. He'd been here for, you know, probably 8-9 years. He was the head coach here for, you know, half a season. So, yeah, and like Jono said, he'll just, you know, help Corey out, bounce ideas. They watch the video together. Obviously, both being defensemen, they can, you know, really nail down that defensive zone, which I know, you know, is something that Corey really wants to work on. So, yeah, I think he's just another set of eyes on the game, watching the tape. I think he'll definitely be a massive addition.
First came to Nottingham in 1990, Rick Strachan. You'll remember that, Jono?
Yeah, I think he came as cover for somebody, didn't he?
Really?
From memory. I think he came in as cover. I'll have to double check that, but I think that's... I don't think he came in at the start of the season. I don't think he was here for a full season as a player.
Well, if it kind of jogs your memory, that year he also played for Humberside, Seahawks, mm-hmm. Haringey Racers, and the Milton Keynes Kings. But the Milton Keynes Kings looks like he went there for playoffs, looking at the stats. But yeah, so yeah, got 21 points in 15 games.
I'm pretty sure he came in for someone. But I'll have to, my memory's not what it was.
Yeah, you can't quite remember every player's stats from every single season.
No, not everything.
No, we'll give you that. let's touch on last weekend just briefly. You know, Saturday, it was, I'm just trying to think of the best term. You know, I think Nottingham will be frustrated in the end with the fact that they only got the 1 point. I mean, they weren't at their best, Panthers, on that game. Going forward, they certainly didn't create loads, but they looked structurally sound. You could see that some things Corey had done had taken effect pretty early. They looked harder to break down. There was less odd man rushes. They just looked a bit stronger in the defensive zone. Scored late, which was great. And sometimes when that momentum goes with you, you get the win, but the shootout went the Steelers' way. So we'll take Saturday first of all, Greener. Anytime you can go on the road, get a point, you know, and put a game back with 5 seconds to go, you're happy. But do you also leave feeling dejected a bit because, you know, you were a David Levin post away again from 2 points?
Yeah, I think there's obviously, you know, you can kind of look at it both ways. But I mean, to be losing, I think if you'd have said to Corey with a minute left in the game, will you take a point out of this game? He would have definitely taken it. So, you know, Sheffield have been, you know, good form, obviously right up there in the league. I think to go there and get a point, obviously in the league, we need all the points we can get. But I still think that's a good point. I see it more as a point gain than a point dropped. Like you said, the shootout's a complete lottery. Great to get that late goal. But I think, like you said, you know, maybe a couple of weeks ago, if we'd have gone there, we would have lost that game, but not amazing going forward. But, you know, Corey's all about defense first, you know, keeping the puck out of our net. We looked a lot more solid, gave up a lot less chances. And I think that's really the key thing. You know, on another day, we could have nicked another goal and that would probably have been enough. So I think the sort of good signs were there. We just didn't quite have enough to get the win, unfortunately.
Jono, some people listening to this will go now when I say this, oh, they're just looking for excuses. But I do wonder, you know, whether Saturday's was maybe energy sapping. And I know that you know, hockey players are used to two games in 2 days or three in four or whatever. But they did look gassed in the, you know, they came out strong in the first period. And I do wonder if they'd have got a couple of goals up. Like we have seen in some recent home games, that would have been a different story, but they were unable to do that. And I just wonder whether perhaps they just were sapped, fatigued from that Saturday night.
Yes, they probably were, but then you have to ask the question, should they have been? I mean, they were playing a Storm side who were down on bodies themselves. They didn't have 4-4 lines that we was playing. And it's something I mentioned to Dan in commentary as well, that we seem to be playing four lines, and they were short, sharp shifts to try and keep the guys fresh, I think. So I've got to be honest, I don't think you can really have that as an excuse. Like you say, all season they've been used to playing two games in a weekend, pretty much every weekend. But don't forget, there was a lot of emotion around over this weekend, what with Corey's return, the emotional homecoming, and a game against the Sheffield Steelers in Sheffield to kick off the new Corey Nielsen era. It would probably have had an effect, but the question I would raise is, should it have had an effect?
I mean, that's interesting, Jono. You know, going back to you, Greener, do we maybe come back to hear about how Corey will play a different system, and it, you know, may now take, because the guys have been used to one system under Gary Graham. If they're going to have to suddenly find a new way, maybe be, you know, skating more in a game, that might take them a bit of time to get up to speed. So do you think that's a fair point?
Yeah, definitely. I think it will no doubt take some time. It's not going to be, you know, perfect for, you know, the way he wants to play, probably for another two or three games, because it takes those reps in games and the reps in training to sort of drill it in. But I mean, you know, he's got 3 days this week, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's, you know, there's a good amount of time. It's not just about doing it on the ice. I'm sure he'll be showing them video almost every day, drilling into them. They don't always have to do it, but seeing what it looks like on the screen, doing the walkthroughs in practice. And I think every game or every week you will see, you know, you'll see it perform better, but you'll also see more things implemented, and it's sort of a growing process. And it will probably take 2 or 3 weeks, but I'm thinking kind of mid-December, by then everyone will be on the same page, a little bit fitter, sharper, hopefully, you know, healthy, and we'll see where we're at then.
Mid-December, just in time for a first leg of a Challenge Cup quarterfinal, which suddenly becomes a very important game. I mean, you know, let's be honest, that the league title hope is a million miles away. Do you know what I mean? That's just a fact of reality. You know, Corey Nielsen, as we know, and as we've mentioned on this podcast before, you know, he's a master of the Challenge Cup and the playoffs as well. So, you know, Corey Nielsen will be licking his lips to have a Challenge Cup quarterfinal against the Belfast Giants just around the corner. Incidentally, just this week, the Giants announced the second leg will be Wednesday, the 4th of January. Of course, the first leg, 15th of December in Nottingham, a Thursday night, £10 and £5 the ticket prices there, with arena fees on top. But yeah, season ticket holders can get their tickets at a hugely discounted rate. A couple more questions about the weekend before we move on. One was, I'll go to you, Jono, and then one on penalty shots for you, Greener, in a moment. But Jono, what a great ovation for Corey Nielsen on Sunday. And what I liked as well is obviously the off-ice team had got the video planned, and that was always going out. But the crowd rose to Corey Nielsen even before that. The teams came out, he stepped onto the bench, and even before the video got on and Steph managed to read out what he managed, you know, what he read out, the crowd were chanting his name. And again, Corey is not a man of talking about emotion a lot. And I noticed in the interviews, you know, he talked about it and talked about how emotional that was for him.
Yeah, I mean, Corey Nielsen is a legend of this club. His shirt hangs in the rafters. I think he was always going to get that ovation. I think I said to you last week, you know, the comparisons with Stuart Pearce when he came back as manager for Forest, where he came through the tunnel for his first game and there was an incredible ovation, and it reminded me of that very, very much. You know, Corey Nielsen is huge in the history of the Nottingham Panthers, and rightly the crowd gave him that respect and ovation that he thoroughly deserved.
Absolutely right, Jono. It was fantastic to see that the crowd rode to it, and obviously, you know, it got noted in Sheffield as well the night before. So that was great to see. Right, Greener, penalties. You know, I had somebody ask me in the last 24 hours, you know, do teams practice penalties? I mean, obviously, I haven't seen many shootouts where the first goal was what, the 14th shot of the penalty shootout. How often would a team practice penalties? Once a week, once a month, you know, once every few weeks?
No, I would say almost daily. I mean, you know, you probably won't have the whole team, you know, it won't be a drill like at the end, we're all doing shootouts. But I mean, normally what you'll find is maybe once a week, they'll all do it together and they'll have a competition, like, you know, loser has to do something or winner gets something. But, you know, I mean, I can only speak from when I was there, but I would do them almost, you'd get sort of a handful of players almost every day would want to do it at the end, you know, and it would normally be sort of the younger guys maybe, but yeah, you'd probably have five or six guys every day just be like, oh, should we just do a shootout at the end, you know, a bit of fun, again, something like simple on the line, and yeah, you'd have a handful of them, but people would see it and a few more would join in. But, you know, Corey, again, is really into that. You know, he loves scoring goals because he loves joining in himself. You know, all about the offense and the goals. So, you know, he will probably do it. And it's a really good drill at the end of practice for fun. You know, it's a bit of a skate. It's a bit of competition. And it's just a good way to finish it off. So I would say Corey will do it once or twice a week. But I'm sure if you stick around to the end of practice, whenever you're there this week, you know, I bet you once a few guys are off the ice, the ones that are still on there will probably end up doing some. So, yeah, it's fairly common.
Yeah, I know Gary Graham put some money on the line, I think, in some of his training sessions, because I remember him coming to present Matthew Gagion, I think it was. With some money after one of the training sessions. So, I mean, obviously, each coach has their own style. In fact, now this Greener might have been before your time. Jono will remember this. And I can't remember the backstory to how it existed, but the Loser Cruiser was a collapsed-out car that Corey had to drive around. And while I'm chatting, I'm going to Google this because I remember
there was a news article. It was on
the BBC.
One of the local news channels,
BBC,
wasn't it? Yeah.
It was on the BBC. And in fact, I remember writing a story for that. And here
was
we
it
go.
A clapped-out Fiesta or something
it
like
was.
That?
Here we go. Wednesday, the 4th of October, 2006. If you want to read about it, Google Loser Cruiser, Corey Nielsen, BBC. An ice hockey team are using a new motivational technique to ensure players give their best. The Nottingham Panthers have introduced the Loser Cruiser. Now, it says here, the squad member who performs worst in training must drive a 25-year-old Ford Fiesta with I'm a Loser sticker on. There's a great picture of Corey grinning here, getting into the Loser Cruiser. When it says performs the worst, I feel that might have meant perform the worst in the shootout. That's what I feel like. And Corey Nielsen's quote, likening the car to a big lawnmower, he said, I'm feeling a little bit of shame right now. I don't even have words right now, guys. I'm going to go home. I think tears.
I think I remember it, and he was just like he just looked crushed.
and there was a TV feature about that, which I am going to track down in the next couple of days. But yeah, it was under Mike Ellis, and at the time the club were unbeaten in regulation time and topped the Elite League table, 4th of October 2006. I think that's Mike Ellis's first year, wasn't
it? Mike Ellis's first season. We won the playoffs that year.
Yeah. But there you go. Loser Cruiser. I bet you didn't know that existed, Greener, did you?
Do you know what? It was before my time here, but it does kind of ring a bell. But yeah, I wouldn't have known. If you just said Loser Cruiser, it wouldn't have rung a bell. But I do remember that they did do something here where, yeah, it kind of rings a bell with me, but I want to know how many times Danny Myers had to drive it.
a sponsor put forward the car, I think. But yeah, that would be great to, you know, let's try and pick Corey's brains on that one, and we'll certainly try and track down that TV feature. But yeah, if you want to find anyone listening, just put Loser Cruiser, BBC, Corey Nielsen. And that's the first thing you sign. Ironically, the second thing you sign is Corey Nielsen returns as Panthers head coach. Okay, so this weekend, let's rattle through it. Fife on Friday, Jono. Need to really show Fife that Nottingham mean business. Fife have Panthers' number this season.
They do. I saw Fife on Saturday night against Manchester. Yes. They only had 8 forwards, and they came away with a 5-1 victory, and they were excellent. As poor as Manchester were that night, the Fife Flyers were excellent, and in attack they looked absolutely superb. To pick out a few players, Zach Phillips, he's 6 goals and 4 assists in his last 6 games. Yanni Larkanen, 40 years old, many may remember from Coventry Blaze last season. He's 2 goals and 7 assists in his last 5. 4 of those assists coming against Panthers in the game in Fife on the 13th of November. They just looked very, very good. Yanni Kivialati was at the heart of everything. They was doing well on Saturday night. Of course, another ex-Blaze player. So Fife have beaten us twice already this season. 3-1 earlier in the season at the NIC, and then 6-1 on the 13th of November back in Fife. Cannot be taken lightly. Have a lot of offensive talent there, and an outstanding netminder in Shane Owen, who made another absolutely world-class save in the first period on Saturday.
Yeah, great point, Jono. What impresses you the most, Greener, about Shane Owen? Why is he so good?
I think it's just his consistency. I think he's, you know, he's technically a very good goalie. You know, he's big, he moves well, he's, you know, square to the shot. He does everything right, but it's, you know, it's just every game, you know, he's, I remember speaking to James, you know, who I used to do the commentary with, and he was, I think the first game he ever saw was Belfast and us when he was in Belfast. And I think they beat us like 4-0. And he was always like, every time we play Shane Owen, no matter where he's playing, he's always the best player in this building. And I sort of tend to agree. He just gives you a chance to win every night. You know, he obviously is more spectacular some nights than others. But, you know, for a team like Fife, you know, he normally has a lot to do. He has to make a lot of good saves. And I think he's just got into that routine of just, yeah, he's just really consistent. And like Jono said, he always makes these crazy, outrageous saves. And yeah, he's always the best player for whichever team he plays for when he comes into Nottingham. So
yeah, and obviously settled in Fife. I mean, he played for Belfast, of course, for that one season. Had a bit of time with Blaze in the Elite Series, of course. But obviously, like, feels comfortable in Fife now. Trip to Dundee on Saturday. And then, I know we've touched on it a few times, but we can't let it slip without mentioning it again. Greener, good friend of yours. You're playing in the game. I think we've talked a lot about that, but we might see how your training's going. I know it's only a few days on from the last time we talked about it, but Matthew Myers' testimonial, some great names from the past, not just you, Greener, but Guy Lepine and David Alexandre Beauregard, David Ling, they all fly in at the weekend, and Matus Patrico, David Clark, to name but a few, former director of hockey, Guy Doucette as well. You know, how much does Matthew, I mean, it just goes to show, doesn't it, Greener, what a legend of the game he is, and his durability, that he's now, you know, having his second testimonial in as many months almost. But it just shows that the durability of Matthew.
It's crazy, really, to think that he's, you know, basically played the top level hockey in this country for 20 years. And like you said, double testimonial, which is, you know, unheard of, really. But yeah, he just, you know, he keeps himself in good shape. He's very professional. He trains hard. He does everything right. And you kind of see, you know, obviously he was away in Cardiff for a while, and then he's come back the last sort of, you know, year and a bit. But, you know, joking aside, you sort of watch him a bit like Jonathan Phillips, and you just kind of think, like, I don't even really think he's near the end. Like, obviously, if he wants to stop, he will at some point. But, you know, he's still scoring points. He's still on the ice in big situations. He's a leader. You know, he's a great team guy. But, you know, he contributes. He does things on the ice. He's not just sticking around because everybody likes him. He's a valuable member of the team and a valuable member of the national team. And, yeah, I think Sunday will be really good fun. Obviously, loads of old legends coming back, and some like British guys that are, some are still playing, and some dotted around the country. So I think it'll be a lot of fun.
You make a great point there, actually, because, you know, people go on about Matthew Myers. He's great in the corners, his hard-nosed attitude to the game. But you know, that doesn't half just tell half the story. Obviously, we know about face-offs. You only need to look at the stats. You know, if you're going into the final minute of a game and you need a big face-off, you know, that's Matthew Myers. But as you mentioned there, Greener as well, he's still putting up the points. You know, he's good to go on the penalty kill. He's great on the power play. You know, Jono, going to you now on that, you know, there's so some players get pigeonholed as just one area that they succeed in, but Matthew has so many facets to his game.
Yes, one of the best face-off guys in the league as well. I think he might be our face-off leader. I'll need to double check the stats. I know it's very close between him and Jeremy Welch, but he's a big contributor towards the team being number one overall in the league on face-offs this season. He's played on every single line. He's played on the power play. He's played on the penalty kill. He's so reliable. He's such a reliable player. And I think that's why he's trusted by pretty much every coach that he's played for. And that's why he's the captain. He's every definition of a leader, an absolutely outstanding player.
Face-offs won 179, 130 lost. That's what, plus 49? 40, yeah, plus 49. Jeremy Welch, 191 won, 160 lost. So they're not too far away. But Welch has obviously taken more face-offs, but you know, Myers has just got a little bit of the edge in terms of winning percentage there. Greener, just before we finish, I think you and Jono touched on it, didn't you, the other night? But how's this week's prep going so far? Are you in game condition yet?
It's going exactly as it was last week and the week before that, I think. Yeah, it's nothing. Yeah, it's just I'm just going to go for it. I think that's what I did for his one in Cardiff in the summer. So I don't see any reason to change anything up now. So yeah. I'm hoping that I have a goalie partner on my team and I can tag in and out when I need to. So, yeah, that's it.
I think you have. The teams, but probably by the time this is released, the teams might even be made public. I'm pretty sure you've got a
yeah,
goalie.
I think I have as well. So, I mean, I think I'll be fine. I mean, I think fitness-wise, I'll be fine. It's just more actually ability-wise, I might struggle a bit, but oh well.
Well, you're not tempted to play out?
No, I don't. Well, I don't think that's an option. But I mean, I haven't done that since I was 10 years old. So I don't think in front of a couple of thousand people on the ice with David Ling and Guy Lepine is the time to do that, really. So
instead, you want them to shoot at you. There you go. That's, you know. What
yeah,
I mean?
I think I'd rather Lepi shot at me than try to take my head off. Oh, and he wouldn't try to take my head off. But you know what I mean? I feel safer in goal with people like Linger on the ice. So
yeah. No, well, it's going to be a great night. If you haven't got your tickets, just get them as soon as possible. Obviously, you'll be able to pay on the door so that won't be a problem either. But yeah, come and celebrate. As much, you know, come and celebrate Matthew Myers. This is what it's all about. Just celebrate his contribution, who was at the heart of, you know, just like Corey Nielsen and the core of that team, David Clark, Robert Lakovic, you know, some of those guys, of course, you'll be seeing on Sunday as well. So if you can, please do make sure you can make it down. You'll be able to meet the players afterwards as well in Spotlight. Spotlight Bar on the fourth floor of the arena will be open. So come upstairs and join the team. There'll be an auction as well for the shirts. So you can enter that. And then the England game. Well, maybe the England game. Again, at time of recording, we do not yet know. But if England win their group, they will finish top, obviously, and they'll be playing on Sunday at 7 o'clock. So basically,
if they come second in the group?
They play on Saturday.
Oh, so it'll be the day before if they. Okay.
So it'll be the day before. So assume if England do win the group, that will also be on show in Saltbox at 7 o'clock. But the game gets underway at 3, a couple of hours long or so. And then, as I say, auction and drinks upstairs, meet the players, get some memorabilia signed, whatever you want to do. But the players will be available from Panthers this year, and the legends that are coming back to play will be up there as well. As I say, shirt auction, some very special shirts will be on auction in that shirt auction. Well, that's it. We've got not much time left. So thanks for joining us. We will catch you on Friday, of course, Friday night game night. So there'll be the Panthers post-game podcast then. But for now, goodbye.